This is the For Life and Godliness podcast. Welcome back to For Life and Godliness. This is episode 16. On today's episode, you're going to hear a message that I had the privilege to deliver for my buddy Dave Jenkins and his podcast, The Warriors of Grace. Now, this message is entitled Growing in Love for the Lord and Your Spouse, and how difficult a thing that is for us to do. But I hope that this episode will bless you. Good evening. I want to welcome you to this episode of Warriors of Grace. My name is Drew Vanita, and the assignment that I have been given is on the topic of growing in love for the Lord and your spouse. Now, as a husband, my primary focus is going to be directed towards husbands, or those who are about to become husbands, or those who may desire to one day be a husband. But I believe that in this message that there is some practical application for the ladies as well. Now, just from the outset, let me state that marriage is hard. Don't let anyone tell you anything different. At first, things seem really great in that newlywed stage where you're smitten with one another and your spouse is your entire world. But how quickly that can change when two become one and you're now living with one another. The excitement becomes dull. The spark begins to dim. And it's not too long after where you just don't view each other in the same way. Now all of your faults, all of your shortcomings are revealed. And such can also be the same with our walk with the Lord, with our love for the Lord. Our excitement may be washed out when we don't receive something that we think that we deserve. Or our eyes become attracted to some new shiny object that pulls our focus and our love from God. So the question is, how do we return to and remain in the place where we are growing in love for the Lord and our spouse? When we find and marry the one, what tends to happen is all of our focus, all of our attention becomes on them. Now, on the surface, this doesn't seem like a terrible thing. I mean, after all, you don't want to neglect them. However, when we focus all of our attention on our spouse, when everything becomes about them, we end up turning them into an idol. They become the object of our worship. And when this happens, we drift further and further away from God. So how do we avoid this? How do we grow in love for our spouse without turning them into an idol? By first growing in love for the Lord. Now, I want to give you four things that we can do to grow in love for the Lord. Now, there are many things we could have listed here, but for the sake of time, I'm going to cut it down to four. So how do we grow in love for the Lord? Well, the first thing we must do is self-denial. Luke 9:23, Christ says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Our love for the Lord begins when we deny ourselves. He must increase. I must decrease. You cannot follow after someone. You cannot chase after someone. You cannot pursue after someone in love if you are in the way. So often is the case that we know God loves us. We know about His love for us. I mean, First John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. So we know God's love for us, but then we also have a love for us. And then we become consumed in our love for us. We cannot love God if our love for self rivals our love for God. So we must deny ourselves. Second, we must serve the Lord. Our service to the Lord is measured by our obedience to Him. Christ said in John 14:15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We demonstrate our love for God and grow in our love for God by our obedience to Him. But our obedience doesn't just deal with our love to God. It is also the cause for our remaining in God's love. John 15:10, Christ again, He says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide," or "you will remain in my love." So service to the Lord through our obedience to Him will help us grow in love with Him. His commandments are not a burden to us. Instead, they are given for our joy, because they are both for our benefit and God's glory. The third way that we grow in love for God is studying His Word. We study the Word so that we may know God. And we cannot love someone whom we do not know. Scripture is the mind of God that is breathed out for us, and it is given to us. It reveals everything that we need to know about Him. So, if you want to love God, you must get to know God. And the only way that you can truly get to know God is through the study of His Word. Fourth, prayer. Our communion with God. Just as you cannot love someone you do not know, you cannot love someone whom you don't spend time with. This is how Christians so often treat our walk with God. They make a profession of faith and then go about living their lives, never talking to, never communing with God. They never read His Word. They never speak to Him. Imagine if that is how your marriage looked. You spoke your vows to one another, and then upon leaving the church, you both went your separate ways. That would not be a very long-lasting marriage. So how do we grow in our love for God? We deny ourselves. We get ourselves out of the way. We serve God by our obedience to Him. We don't seek to be self-serving. We serve God. We study His Word. Everything that we need to know about God resides in His Word. We do not need to go outside of His Word. We get to know God by studying who He is through the way He has revealed Himself. And that is His Word. And then we grow in our love for God by prayer. The direct access to God. It is the place where we can pour out our hearts to God. And we can just then sit and enjoy the presence of God through the Spirit. So now, how do we grow in love for our spouse? Sometimes this might even be the most difficult. Sometimes it's easy to just retreat from our spouse and go to be with the Lord in solitude. We may use that as our excuse to escape something difficult that's happening in our marriage. So how do we grow in love with our spouse? Ephesians 5, verses 25 through 29, I believe, gives us a pretty clear answer, especially for husbands. This is what Paul writes. He says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless." Now, we see very clearly that the husband is to exemplify the same character as Christ. And there are two distinct characteristics in this passage that we see. We see sacrifice, and we see service. And the husband is to exemplify both sacrifice and service. Now, God set up Christ as the head of the church. Christ is the bridegroom, the church is the bride. Christ is the leader of the church, just as the husband is to be the leader in the household. So how does the husband lead? He leads by sacrifice and service. Today we have what I would say is a huge growth in the idea of biblical patriarchy. The man as the head. And while this is actually a biblical concept, oftentimes we can see this very much abused. The idea that the man thinks he needs to be served, that the wife needs to do whatever he says. Well, that is just not the case. In fact, if that is your thinking, then you are in sin. The leadership role of a man in the household is to be the same as Christ's, exemplifying sacrifice and service. Now, sacrifice, again, self-denial. Just as we deny ourselves in growing in our love for the Lord, we deny ourselves in growing in love for our spouse. You cannot pursue after someone if you are in the way. If you love yourself more than you love your spouse, then you are in sin. This modern idea of self-love, that you must love yourself before you can love someone else. This is a satanic idea. Nowhere in Scripture are we called to love ourselves before we love someone else. In fact, I would say that just the opposite is true. We are called to love God above all and look to God to see how we are to love others. So when we look to see how are we to love our spouse, we look to Christ to see how Christ loved the church. And again, that just points back to our passage in Ephesians 5. By giving himself up for her. Sacrifice. Christ did not save his own life, but instead sacrificed himself for the church, for his bride. So, when we sacrifice, we are to sacrifice ourselves in self-denial, giving up the things that we want for our pleasure. Now, that doesn't say we have to go completely without everything. But it does mean that should something interfere, something that we desire for our pleasure, should that interfere with our love for our spouse, then we get rid of it. That's what that means. Self-denial. Humbling myself, elevating my spouse above myself. So we are to sacrifice ourselves in self-denial as well as sacrificing ourselves with our lives if necessary. And that's also indicated in our passage because Christ gave himself. He gave his life for his bride. And we too are to do the same. So we have sacrifice. But we also have service. So how do we serve our wives? Well, again, we look to Christ. Christ did not come to be served, but to serve. He did what he needed to do in order to serve other people. And I think about the night of the Last Supper. Once they finished, he got down and he washed the dirty feet of the disciples. He made himself a servant, the lowest point. He became a foot washer. We should bring ourselves to the lowest point, to where we are sacrificing to serve our wives in whatever they may need. That doesn't just mean taking out the trash. That doesn't just mean changing dirty diapers. What it really means is whatever needs to be done to serve your wife, you do it. Because that is how you lead. But what else can we say about service to our wives? Well, let's go back to our passage. Men, we are to teach the Word of God to our wives. And that's what is meant when Paul says, washing her with the Word. It means to cover her or to drench her fully in the Word of God. Because this is how she gets to know God as well. You are the primary instructor and teacher for your wife. You are to teach her the ways of the Lord. Teach her who God is, so that she may also love the Lord. So we teach the Word to our wives. But in teaching the Word, we also live out the Word. It's not just something that we say, it's also something that we do. Again, back to this idea of service, where Christ became a servant. He became a foot washer. He did what he needed to do in order to serve others. That sacrificial servant love. We live out what the Word says to do for our spouse. Now, one of the things that happens in marriage, believe it or not, is strife, headbutting, arguments, disagreements. They happen. But how do you deal with them? Now, modern day counseling would teach you to communicate. And communication is good. Modern day counseling would teach you to communicate, and it would say things like how you communicate with your spouse is this. When you do this, it makes me react this way. Therefore, don't do this, and I won't react this way. That is not going to help anything. The reason being is because what you are doing is you are attempting to be the Holy Spirit for your spouse. And you cannot do that. Instead of saying, when you do this, because now you're putting the blame on them, your reaction, you're saying that your response to what they're doing is based upon them. Therefore, they need to take into consideration your response. No. Instead of saying, when you do this, I react this way, when such a thing happens, you are to be in self-control. That is one of the fruits of the Spirit. Be in self-control. You cannot control situations, but you can control how you react to situations. Part of this living out the Word means that when something happens, even an argument, something I don't want to have happen, it happens, I control how I respond to it. And how should I respond to it? The way Christ responds to it. With love, with forgiveness, and we will get into also not keeping a record of wrongs. Not lording it over someone, not holding it over their head, but instead, I forgive them. I love them. and I move on. I live out the Word, not seeking to be the Holy Spirit for them, but I live out the Word, what God's Word says for me, so that then they see my example, and then that is what convicts, and that is what brings the change. Not me saying their actions cause me to react in such a way, but rather seeing their actions, and then I respond with forgiveness and not keeping a record of wrongs, lording it over someone, holding it over their head, constantly pointing it back to them, saying, don't do this, because then that's how I react. No, you be in self-control. So we live out the Word. We teach the Word. We live out the Word. And then we simply just serve in whatever needs to be done. Because service to our spouse is service to the Lord. Now, the married life is not one of desiring to be served. The best way we love one another is not by focusing on each other, but by focusing on God and seeking to serve one another in our service to God. When we focus on our spouse, all of our attention on our spouse, they become an idol. When we love our spouse, through our love for God, we seek to serve them in our service to God. So that now, we're not growing together and bypassing God. We're growing together towards God. And that is what we want to do. We should be seeking to outserve one another. Husbands, are you seeking to outserve your wife in how she serves you? Wives, are you seeking to outserve your husband in how he serves you? Or are you sitting back and saying, yeah, I deserve how you serve me, and I deserve for you to do this, I deserve for you to do that? No, that's not how it works. You should be desiring to serve your spouse to the best of your ability, because that is the service to the Lord, regardless of whether you get something in return. Marriage is a picture of the gospel. Or let's say it this way. Marriage is the gospel in action. Service to one another. Sacrifice to one another. Forgiveness towards one another. Forgiveness being accepted by one another. Not keeping a record of wrongs against one another. Go look at 1 Corinthians 13. One of the most evil things we can do to our spouse is keep a record of wrongs. But rather saying, I'm going to serve you, I'm going to sacrifice for you, and I'm going to do all this in service to the Lord, in my growing to the Lord. Because Christ came, and Christ sacrificed himself for us when we were his enemies. He changed our hearts. He drew us to himself. And there was nothing that we could give him in return. In marriage, as the picture of the gospel, you don't get married so that you can be served. You get married so that you can serve. You love your spouse. You serve your spouse. You forgive your spouse. And you seek to point them all the more to Christ, so that they may also love God and serve him. Well, I want to thank you for watching this episode of Warriors of Grace. Stay tuned for the next one, where we will talk about what it looks like to forgive. For Life and Godliness is a production of Servants of Grace. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, let us know by leaving a review. We'd love to hear from you.